Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member, FINRA/SIPC. Registered representative, securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member, FINRA/SIPC. Investment Advisor Representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Fujiyama Wealth Management and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with my co-host Junko Horvath, and this is my favorite show of the month. It is Junko's Health, Wealth, and Happiness Hour, brought to you by our good friends at Fujiyama Wealth. Junko, how are you doing today? You seem all smiley.
Great.
Do you have a good week?
Yeah, so far.
So far, so good?
So good.
So who'd you bring with you today?
Okay, I have a great guest today, and I'm Tyler Hall, founding attorney and principal of Hall Benefit Law, and also David Hall. He's a firm manager of the Hall Benefit Law. So husband and wife and husband team.
That should be interesting,
Yeah, so.
It's definitely wife and husband team.
So, Anne, you are the founding attorney. Tell us about your firm, how you started.
Thank you, Junko, and thank you for having us today. So a little bit about my background. Yeah. After I did a tax LLM, Master's in Tax Law, and specialized in ERISA in Washington, D.C. at Georgetown, and then started out my career here in Atlanta at Alston & Byrd. I left Alston & Byrd and then went to King & Spalding, and so worked in the large law firms for many years, and then started Hall Benefits Law in 2013. And last year, we were named the second fastest growing law firm on the Law Firm 500 and the fastest growing ERISA boutique firm in the country.
Wow, so, in the country.
Wow, that's amazing.
How did you achieve that? Tell us about, you know, your growth.
Yes.
How you did that.
Well, a lot of prayer.
great.
Covered everything in prayer. Yeah. And we were strategic about our growth, and we have worked with coaches, and we worked strategically to define our ideal client and to provide value to that client. And it was interesting because last year we did a snapshot of our growth and where our business was coming from. And in 2018, over half of our revenue came from existing clients prior to 2018, which tells me that we're adhering to our core values of being relationship-driven and value-driven for our clients.
Can you talk a little bit about the coach aspect of this? Because not everybody has a coach, and people who have had coaches seem to really like it. Now, I'd like to know kind of the thought process before having a coach. And then, you know, hey, maybe we should have a coach, and then having the coach and what that's looked like.
Great question. So when I started in 2013, you know, law school does not teach you how to run a business.
Exactly.
So law school's great at teaching technical and large law firm. It was great for helping with sophisticated issues and really getting proficient on ERISA legal compliance, which is a complex, nuanced area of the law. And so it was great experience for learning the law and the technical aspects of the law, but neither law school nor large law firm teaches you how to run a business. Mm-hmm. And so when you're running a firm, really as your firm continues to grow, the highest and best use of your time, right, is managing, maintaining, and growing the firm and running a business.
Which isn't so much as the legal part.
Exactly.
Right? It's a different kind of job.
Exactly. Now, I do both. I like the legal. I stay in the legal. I've been writing a book on ERISA compliance issues that will come out sometime in the next 4 to 6 weeks. So I like the ERISA work. So I have continued to be involved in that. And we want to keep our clients. We're very education focused for our clients. And so we're out in the community doing lunch and learns and speaking engagements and webinars that we offer free to our clients to keep them on abreast of what's going on their ERISA legal compliance landscape. So I stay in the legal, mm-hmm. but yes, as we've grown, it's become more and more important to understand, you know, how to grow and to just sustain and grow a firm.
And that's where the coach come in. Is this a coach that specializes in legal firms?
Yes, it is. And so we have an outsourced CEO and an outsourced COO that help us with just the day-to-day management of mm-hmm. running the firm.
And that was from the suggestion of the coach?
That is the coaching program.
Oh, that's coaching?
Part of the coaching mm-hmm. program.
Is that they become the CEO.
But I think what is key and what we see is you have to listen to what they're telling you to do.
Exactly.
Even though it's your firm.
And exactly. And you have to have some humility around mm-hmm. that, right? Mm. And listening to the guidance that they're giving you. And then some of the suggestions may not work for your firm, but mm-hmm. but you got to try it. And I've heard this said, and I think it is so true, failing your way to success, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Trying things, and it may not work the first time, or it just may not work on your platform. But growing from those and learning from those trying and failing situations. But our goal is to provide quality, excellent ERISA legal compliance services to businesses throughout Atlanta and, quite frankly, the U.S. ERISA is federal law. We've got a map in our office. We've got about 25 states covered right now. It's a little bit harder to hit clients in North Dakota, South Dakota, sure. Idaho, but but we're working on it. So our goal is to help more people.
So that having this fractional, it's just CEO or it's a different, there's two C-level?
CEO and COO.
Having that, does that help you create a balance in your life because it's taking some things off your plate that maybe it's not your specialty or not things that you, it's your favorite things to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, that's great. So let me ask some questions to David, who is a firm manager. What's your role in the business, and how long have you been a part of the business, part of the firm?
I joined the firm in 2016.
Oh, yeah, that's
so
right.
So I've been with the firm now coming up on 3 years. Mm-hmm. And the title, as you mentioned, is firm manager.
Yeah.
I feel like I wear a few more hats than that, but if mm-hmm. I could talk about what I really love to do, it's being a firm ambassador, and it's mm-hmm. talking to financial advisors, investment advisors, mm-hmm. CPAs, third-party administrators, mm-hmm. and especially plan sponsors about mm-hmm. what we do, why we do it, and what our mission as a law firm is, because I really feel like our mission sets us apart. I have a background in sales and marketing, so if you look at an education as well, which ties in nicely mm-hmm. to the plan sponsor education piece, which is part of our core mm-hmm. DNA as a firm, mm-hmm. but what I think is really brings me joy is lifting our staff, mm-hmm. making sure that the people who are, if you look at our org chart, who mm-hmm. directly report to me, that they feel like they're fulfilled, they're doing things that tie in directly to our core values, mm-hmm. and then getting out in the community and making sure people know who we are. Mm-hmm. That's really my role in the firm, mm-hmm. and I think as we have utilized the CEO role well and the COO role well, we've put policies and procedures and systems in place that allow both Ann Tyler and me to go and do highest and best use of our time.
Yeah. And I think you make a great point, David, about pouring into your employees. And so we talk a lot about that building and designing legally compliant, strategically designed benefit plans is the cornerstone to growth. But I think ancillary or foundational to that as well is, you know, pouring into your team. And we have a good team. We have a team, and we operate as a team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like your firm. I remember when you first started, you know.
Well, we have a collaborative environment. Mm-hmm. We talk to our clients about being relationship-driven, and that starts in the office. You cannot have
exactly.
a good relationship with a client uh-huh. if you don't have a good relationship with your own team.
Exactly. That's great. So how is whole benefit achieving to client goals differently than other law firms out there with ERISA attorneys on staff?
Well, Junkai, that's a great question, and I can only speak to my experience. When I was in the large law firm setting, The focus was on billable hours and hitting those hours. And so we would prepare compliance memos, and there wasn't a whole lot of discussion back and forth with the client. And I often wondered, does the client truly understand what we did for them and what mm-hmm. this means for their business? And with any work product that we send out, we have a policy. We're going to have a call to walk through that. And again, that's about being relationship driven. We want our clients to feel like they've got a partner in ERISA legal compliance on their benefit plans so that they're calling us anytime they have a benefit plan compliance issue or just a question. So we really work on excellent work product, of course, but then also making sure that whatever work product we send out, that our clients understand what this means for their business. And I think that's unique. Mm-hmm. We do not have arm's length transactions with our clients. We play, as I say to prospects and to clients, we play the long game. We want you as a client for many years. And so we want to cultivate that relationship. And if you understand the work that we've done and how we've provided value, it's easier when, for instance, last year alone, we helped mm-hmm. clients abate and avoid $2.6 million in Internal Revenue Service and Department of Labor ERISA legal compliance penalties. $2.6 million. It's mm-hmm. easy for us to come to a client and say, we just saved you $380,000. Mm-hmm. They get that value. For some of the plans that we put in place and the more proactive ERISA legal compliance issues mm-hmm. that we do, and we really do prefer and promote being proactive with respect to ERISA legal compliance, avoiding those penalty issues before you get that IRS or DOL love letter. Mm-hmm. But for those clients, it's important that they understand what we're helping them build and what we're helping them avoid and mitigate as it relates to exposure.
I'd love to piggyback on that, Ann Tyler, and just ask you to speak about one of the case studies in the book. And the book that's coming out is mm-hmm. called Case Studies in ERISA. Mm-hmm. That's our working title, but it's going to mm-hmm. be part of the actual title as well. Mm-hmm. We had a client who came to us and was proactive in the way that they approached their benefits plan on the health and welfare mm-hmm. side. And that came back to them in spades, in a good way. And so, Ann Tyler, if you could talk a little bit about that particular case study, I think it'd be instructive to exactly what you were just describing.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So that's a great case study here. And so we had a client in 2014 that came to us. And as you all probably know, the Affordable Care Act is now a well-known body of law. Mm-hmm. Well, the employer pay-or-play penalty kicked in and during that time period in 14 and 15 when we were helping this employer, they had a lot of what we call variable hour employees, which means from day one, you don't know if they're going to be a full-time employee. They'd work mm-hmm. on a project yeah. and then they'd go and work on another project mm-hmm. for another employer. And so the Department of Labor provided guidance about whether those individuals who were truly variable hour employees, mm-hmm. and there was explicit guidance about how that term was defined and how you determined variable hour employee status. So we were very careful in designing a compliance paradigm for this employer because they had several hundred truly variable hour employees. Mm. And so we put in place a compliance paradigm and checklists and memorialization of how they made this determination with respect to each of these employees. And sure enough, the IRS came knocking and said, we disagree that these are variable hour employees. You should have offered them health coverage from day one, seven-figure mm-hmm. penalty. So they took the body of work that we had put in place, the paradigm that we had put in place, and submitted that to the IRS. And the IRS basically stepped away and said, we're not going to pursue a penalty. So that's a great example of proactive. I mean, that would have been a seven-figure penalty assessment.
And it's difficult for plan sponsors to imagine that scenario, but because we've seen it and we can talk them through that, a lot of times that's the mm-hmm. difference maker in convincing clients you need to be proactive. Let's do this because down the road, if you're not compliant, you are going to pay the price.
And at which point does usually client come in? Like after they get in trouble or that, you know, or you they hire you at the very beginning?
That's a great question. We get them in all stages. For the client, for the plan sponsor, it is much more cost efficient and effective for them to come in at implementation, because then we can set it up right and maintain it right. If they're coming to us with a penalty, we're just putting out a fire. And so it takes a lot of time, and we're on the Department of Labor's timeline or the IRS's timeline or the HHS's timeline. So it's a time, money, reputation consideration. Great if they come to us at implementation. We have a lot of clients that come to us at implementation and say, we know we need help setting this up correctly. And those are great clients, and it's more cost effective and efficient for them, because then they have ongoing counsel and we can navigate those murky ERISA legal compliance waters that are constantly changing and shifting. But if they come to us in a penalty situation, happy to help. We avoided and abated $2.6 million last year in IRS and DOL penalties. We're well on our way to hitting that same number again this year. We just helped a client avoid $375,000 IRS notice of a penalty. And so we're happy to help them. We get them in all different stages, and we're happy to help in each. I would say for the plan sponsor, for the employer, it is more, again, more cost effective and efficient if you're coming to us at implementation. But if you're you know, 5 years into your benefits plan, we're happy to jump in and make sure our the way that we work is, firstly, making sure that your programs are legally compliant. Your benefit programs should be attracting, motivating, retaining your employees, helping you build your business, not an area of exposure. And so our first goal is always legal compliance. Then once we've shored up legal compliance, we've got a good legal compliance paradigm in place, then we start looking at the fun stuff, the plan design, and how do we optimize your benefit plans? How do we match your core values of your company to your benefit plans?
Junko, you asked what's different about Hall Benefits Law from other ERISA firms out there. I think certainly the proactive approach, the relationship-driven approach is one. From the technical side, Ann Tyler just described a health and welfare benefits case. Our attorneys are able to tackle ERISA issues and employee benefits legal compliance issues of all types. So there are firms out there that specialize in retirement plans, that specialize in health and welfare benefits. What we've done is we've said, let's hire attorneys with a deep level of experience who aren't learning any of this on the job, and let's let them work collaboratively to tackle any employee benefits legal compliance issue a client may have. So our attorneys are not siloed, as is often the case in the larger law firms, and they're not doing just one type of work. And we think that lends itself, too, to our core value of, you know, building and improving and enforcing and educating from within. And helping those employees to become professionally, more professionally developed.
So all kind of benefit. I talked about retirement, you know, plans before, but so
health and welfare benefits, executive compensation. We have an off-counsel attorney, Larry Eisenberg, who helps us with ESOPs, and then we have off-counsel that helps with ERISA litigation issues as well.
Do you ever work with clients like maybe in the merger and acquisitions, where there's maybe they have two different kind of plans and programs, and they're trying to now kind of mesh them together? Is that an area for you that you help?
Absolutely, and that's a great point. And those types of ERISA legal compliance issues, that is really a touch point and a key point in a business that ERISA legal counsel is so important. And I talk about this. There's a full chapter dedicated in the book that's coming out in the next month or two about how important it is to have ERISA legal compliance. So we see this all the time. And we talked about earlier, when do you engage ERISA legal counsel? We've been involved up front when the buyer is going to purchase the seller. In fact, last year we had a call the day before Good Friday. Closing was that next Monday. We said, and the buyer said, seller wants us to hold out $250,000 because they believe that there are going to be Affordable Care Act penalties that they'll be assessed. Exactly. And I said, well, listen, we can't figure this out in 2 days, but give us 60 days. So we went through, we parsed through the documentation, we provided to seller's counsel, I'm sorry, to buyer's counsel. We were representing seller in that situation. And so we provided to buyer's counsel substantial memorialization that that there were not going to be the penalties that they had guessed that there might be and had asked for the $250,000 holdout. So we got the $250,000 back for the mm-hmm. client. I will say on the other side of this, we were approached by a client out in California, and they had already purchased. It was an irrigation company, Israeli parent company. They'd gone in and purchased another organization, and they said, we have a participant that has come to us and said that they are eligible for one of our benefit plans. And if they are eligible, this is a $250,000 liability for us. What do we do? So we searched through their documents, and we ultimately went back to their purchase agreement and what their purchase agreement said. And in line, 2.2IB, it said, if you're not eligible for our existing plans, legacy employee from the seller, then we aren't going to be required to offer you mm-hmm. coverage. But that had not been, they were lucky. Right. So they avoided that, but they were lucky. They had not contemplated the ERISA legal compliance ripple effect. And so that's why it's so important. We have a client right now that's in merger and acquisition mode, and they merged several 401k plans and didn't do all the filings, and they've racked up $350,000 in Department of Labor penalties.
And it's one of those things, you don't know what you don't know, right? They're
exactly.
combining these things, and there's clauses here and there's rules there. And,
right.
and if someone's not kind of paying attention to how they all fit together.
I've never seen identical benefit plans.
Right? They're like snowflakes.
They're different. Right. And you have to be careful. And the IRS has explicit protected benefits where mm-hmm. you can't change those benefits
right.
for a certain period of time, even if you've merged or acquired a company. So you have to be very careful. So that's a great point. And we do a lot of mm-hmm. benefits diligence mm-hmm. in mergers and acquisition context.
Interesting, because they usually think like, oh, mergers and acquisition, why don't I go to business lawyer? So for them to shift the mind and, oh, let's go to whole benefit law.
Right.
Well, the business lawyers often come to us.
So you work with them?
If they're savvy, yes. So
absolutely.
We get a lot of referrals from corporate attorneys mm-hmm. who say, listen, this is we can do the primary corporate work.
Right.
But when it comes to ERISA legal compliance, you need a specialist.
Yeah.
So they'll send it to us.
That's great. And not so many ERISA law lawyers.
It is a niche practice.
Yeah.
It's a complex area of the law. It's mm-hmm. ever changing. It's a bit of a marriage between tax law and mm-hmm. labor law.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a lot of our labor lawyer and just mm-hmm. general tax lawyer good contacts will say, we don't touch ERISA. No, thank you.
Exactly.
It's a dirty word.
But that allows
we
you,
love it.
But that allows you to work with lots of different.
Absolutely.
Lawyers, yeah. And it's very complimentary.
Absolutely. So while we partner with our plan sponsor, our clients, we mm-hmm. also partner with our good referral sources.
Right.
We want to be a value add to them.
And yeah. when you work with them, are you kind of behind the scenes where you're doing the work on their behalf?
Depends. Mm-hmm. We've worked in both relationships. Sometimes they will counsel, we'll be co-counsel. Mm-hmm. We will be engaged by a corporate law firm. Sometimes they'll direct the client directly to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And the good thing for you is that ERISA is a federal law, so you
yes.
can go all states you want.
Mm-hmm. Some of our best clients are New York and California, because we're on the Atlanta platform mm-hmm. and charge Atlanta rates.
Wow. The discount bargain.
I'll actually be in Birmingham this week talking to plan sponsors about who we are and what we do. I serve on the board of the Southeast Benefits Education Network, and we do some regional forums.
Oh.
And the one in Birmingham this week is exciting for us, because Birmingham is a little bit of a sister city to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Right? And we actually have family in Birmingham, and it's interesting to think about the business community in Birmingham and how quickly that city has grown.
Really?
It reminds me a little bit of Atlanta. I'm a native, and seeing Atlanta and the changes that Atlanta has gone through, it's exciting to go to Birmingham and talk to some of these plan sponsors about how we're helping businesses mm-hmm. in Atlanta, also, you know, across the country, to have those foundational building blocks in their benefits plans.
Now, is that a challenge from the standpoint it is a national law, and then you're here locally, but you like there's so much opportunity all over the place to be disciplined, say, okay, we're here in Atlanta, we're going to kind of, you know, go to Birmingham, you're not going to Seattle, you know, like how do you manage that kind of opportunity where there it seems so vast and there's, you know, there could be gold everywhere, but, you know, you want to manage it.
The web.
Right.
So we write a lot, mm-hmm. and we're, right now, our articles are on about 6 or 7 different national platforms. Mm-hmm. So we get our education pieces out through our articles, and we've gotten calls from interested parties all over the country. And then we do webinars, and we advertise those webinars, and those are free of charge. Once again, we have clients, in our last webinar, we had interested attendees from, you know, Boston and California. And so they don't have to be here in Atlanta, and we're giving away, you know, good information. We're providing good educational services, you know, right there in our office that they can be a part of.
I would say to the business owner out there that may be just getting started, however, what worked for Ann Tyler when she started the firm was to take a very targeted approach. She was having coffees and lunches with individuals who she wanted to work with.
I remember. Right? I think you were one of them.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Right.
Yeah.
So right. Sometimes the web gives you the opportunity to take a shotgun approach. Mm-hmm. That is not always the most effective way to start. Mm-hmm. And what we've done, I think, is grown very intentionally and thoughtfully put marketing programs in place that cater to our client base rather than just going out and targeting everybody online or maybe doing a PPC campaign that would really result in inquiries that don't even touch what we do, right? And again, that's not the highest and best use of our time to sift through those leads, but going where the plan sponsors are. Yeah. And the webinars allow us to do that. Our ERISA Learning Center allows us to do that. Our ERISA Learning Center opened last year.
Yeah.
We host events for people in the benefits industry. We host our own events for plan sponsors and for people in our community who want to learn more about what we do and how it can be beneficial for their business.
That's really smart. Because I don't know so many other law firms who do the webinars. And you're out there all the time.
There are some that do it. I would say that we are different in that we are committed to that channel, to social media.
Yeah.
You will find us on Facebook. You will find us on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is great for us because so many of the professionals we serve, they've got LinkedIn up all day on their desktop. Mm-hmm. So we want to find where the plan sponsors are, and we want to go there.
Mm-hmm. And we do speaking engagements throughout the country. I mean, we were in Chicago last year, Chattanooga. We're going to Montgomery in May. And so we do, you know, try to be in person where we've got where the plan sponsors are and where there are bound to be attendees that want to hear the information that we're talking about.
Yeah, we'll be in Chicago again in June. So, you know, there are opportunities out there for a firm of our caliber to make the impact nationwide.
So it sounds like you invest a ton in education and educating people, whether they use you or not. And that's just a kind of a core value.
It is a core value. Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you picked up on that because it is one of our enumerated core values.
Now, how much of your time is spent doing that kind of educating in just the hopes that at some future point that's going to pay off?
Like a lot.
In a given, in a day, how many hours goes to just educating the planet for good?
At times, you know, half the day. Or, you know, when we do an out-of-state speaking agent, it's a full-day commitment, right? Mm-hmm. But we are committed to that. And we've gotten some really positive feedback in the past 6 months about how, you know, just the ripple effect of that. We see your commitment to education and providing these resources for plan sponsors and
so you write everything, or your lawyers chip in, or
it is material that is produced by the firm. Mm-hmm. So we say it's by Hall Benefits Law.
But when you're doing that kind of education as a marketing strategy, it's an investment, and it's one of those things where you do a webinar and then no business comes of it, and you do another webinar and no business. You just keep doing it, and you're and the belief is that over time that's going
to
pay off.
Well, and sorry to jump on you there, and Tyler, but one of the things that you have to do as a business owner and somebody that, that uses the web and webinars specifically to get your message out is you have to follow up.
Exactly.
And anyone that has ever been on one of our webinars or anyone that has ever hired us or talked to me at an event or talked to Ann Tyler at an event has gotten a phone call, has gotten a follow-up email. That is part of trying to develop that relationship. So if you're out there and you're doing these things, but you aren't proactively following up as a business owner, and Ann Tyler does it so well, then you're not going to get the benefit.
Yeah, because usually it's said that to get the client after webinar or, you know, online search, you have to touch 5 to like 14 times before they actually become client.
Yeah, I had read 8. It's a minimum of 8 times.
Yeah.
Like on average.
Yeah.
Well, that's the difference between a tactic and a strategy, right? Like this takes a commitment over time and a belief. That,
a commitment. Right. That's a great way to say it. It is a commitment.
And it's not a, we try this 6 times and then we just pull the plug because you didn't get the results. Like you got to commit over time in order to really see if it's going to work or not.
Yeah.
Now, as part of your firm's growth and you are working together, how has that impacted kind of the balance of your life? Let's talk about, you know, kind of lifestyle.
And you have a little babies, right?
We do.
How do you?
Well, let me say this, and this isn't, I promise this isn't to pander to my wife, but you know,
it might sound like it is, but it's not.
I promise. going to work for Hall Benefits Law in 2016 was the best professional decision I ever made. I had been a teacher for almost 10 years here in the Atlanta community working with special needs children. I was in outside business to business sales for 8 years with two different companies traveling the country. I enjoyed my work, but I was never passionate about my work. And this allows me to be passionate. And one of the reasons it allows me to be passionate is because when we wake up in the morning, we have the same goal. But that by the end of the day, we're going to have educated plan sponsors. We are going to have abated penalties. We are going to help businesses run better and be more profitable because they have engaged Hall Benefits Law. And at the end of the day, that helps our family. It, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships. We talk about that with our employees. The more people we help, the happier, healthier, and more productive we can be as human beings, the more we can give to our community, to our church. We feel like that is part and parcel of who we are as human beings is we're created to serve.
Yeah. But the time is limited. So how do you manage babies and the writing and the consulting and going national? And
it's a balancing act. Ann Tyler, do you want to talk to that a little bit?
Absolutely. I will also add, you know, David was when before he came, he joined Hall Benefits Law, was traveling a good amount. And so he was gone up to, you know, a week and a half out of the month. And so being able to have David working in the business here local in Atlanta was a huge blessing to our family. But again, we pray a lot about it, and we pray for God to help us use our time, talents, and abilities to help others. And we pray over our family and that we will be wise and thoughtful with our time with our children, and balancing that with running a business.
Junko, you asked earlier when we arrived to the studio about the Sandy Springs Chamber of Commerce, right? And it's interesting because the mix of businesses in the Sandy Springs Chamber of Commerce is very diverse. You've got Mercedes-Benz. And you've got Minuteman Printing. Right. We support both of those businesses in a way. Right. We have hired Minuteman and we love Mercedes. Right. And there's nothing wrong with saying we can support the businesses that are in our community in different ways. And one of the ways we do that is we live in Sandy Springs. We truly live, work and play in our community. And I think that's allowed us to be more effective parents, more effective church members. Because well, look, we're not commuting 2 hours and nothing, nothing against those people that do that, because I know sometimes it's a necessity. We have found that as business owners running a business, it has been very effective to plant where we work.
Now, what about the difference between you were working in large firms and the experience there? Were you getting any fulfillment from a mission standpoint in that environment, or did you feel that this was something you had to do because it was at the core of your being, that I have to do this my own way with my own rules that are more aligned with my values rather than being kind of a cog in the machine in this larger entity? And it might on the surface seem like that's what I wanted in my head when I was in college, and that seemed like the right place to be. But after having experienced it, maybe this smaller boutique specialized firm is more aligned with who you are.
Hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's it. So as I was going through the large law firm paradigm and
that all made sense from a, right? You're in school. This
as
was
a friend
the
told me, it gave me street cred. It gave me street cred.
Right.
So,
but that was all. But that's what's kind of built into the system, right? That's the path that's kind of designed for somebody.
That's right.
You're good at what you were doing. You were achieving probably in school. This
that's
was
right.
just logical, organic path to go on, right?
And it was interesting because I was talking, I had an former Alston & Byrd colleague in the office yesterday, and we were reminiscing on our time at Alston & Byrd, and my takeaway was I wouldn't trade it for anything, would never go back, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Mm-hmm. And it was an incredible opportunity to learn what I wanted, how I wanted to build a business and how I didn't.
Right, what you'd like and what you didn't like. Right.
What I liked and what I didn't like, how I wanted to treat clients and how I didn't want to treat clients.
And it shows the young people that are listening that there is no one path, and that it may not be this thing you're aiming at may not be what you really want once you get in it. And don't be afraid to take a risk. Like it was a risk for you to
That's
leave
right.
this ginormous firm that
That's
everybody,
right.
I'm sure people pushed back and said, what, are you kidding? You're going to do this?
Absolutely.
There was probably some of that, and you had to battle through that, right?
Absolutely. I once met with someone who said, well, who knows who you are?
Right. Why
yeah,
should someone
exactly.
pick?
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
You may not now.
They're not getting fired hiring Alston & Byrd, right?
Right,
yeah. Well, and look, how many great law firms will never exist because young attorneys are afraid to take a risk?
Right.
Right, yeah. And then you've got clients who are forced to go elsewhere. And I would encourage the young business owner, or well, the young attorneys, the young whatever field you're in, not to be afraid to take a risk. I think I was in that mindset for many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was too.
Right. So, you work for a large firm.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a leap of faith, you know, to start your own business.
Right. That's so fulfilling. So fulfilling. I've gotten a fulfillment through this platform and starting this business and growing this business that I never got when I was working in the large law firm.
Right. And that sense of authorship that you are kind of molding this. It's almost like
absolutely.
I equate it to the entrepreneur as an artist. Like you're creating something from nothing.
That's right.
And then people don't understand that. That's part of the joy of being an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the fulfillment of watching our clients grow
right.
and doing good work and
personally
seeing that ripple
involved
effect.
Rather than Absolutely. Cog in the machine involved.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yep. And it's a good model. And ERISA law, it's continuous. It's not like, you know, right?
Ever-changing.
Yeah. So
it's good job security for that.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you sustain? What's your plan to sustain the tremendous growth? Tell us about... again, about you are number one in the ERISA law area in the U.S. That's amazing.
Fastest growing solo-owned firm, ERISA firm in the U.S., and then second fastest law firm in the U.S. So we were thrilled to be named that last year by the Law Firm 500. I think it's a couple of things. I think one of the things we constantly do is we evaluate what's working, and we commit our resources to that. Then we try new things, and if they're working, then we commit resources. If they're not, then we pivot and try other things. Mm-hmm. And we have to constantly be open to trying new things and failing and learning from that and pivoting and moving forward with. Again, I think our driving goal around this is how do we reach more plan sponsors? How do we help more people?
Finding more ways to help more people. That's right. And we believe if we live by those core values and we don't change our belief system, but we find the practices that work within that belief system and we stick to those practices and we find more practices that work, the rest is going to take care of itself.
Yeah.
It really will.
And you alluded to this earlier, commitment. Right. Mm-hmm. Committing to doing the hard work and to following through and to being reliable, continuing these things that work and trying new things and pivoting.
I do think that it bears repeating that the ERISA Learning Center is going to be an important tool in this process.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about more of the ERISA Learning Center, how it works, where do people find and...
Absolutely. So the ERISA Learning Center was established last year in 2018, mm-hmm. at the beginning of 2018. It's a space in our offices that comfortably houses 30 to 40 people in a learning environment at training tables. Mm-hmm. We have audio video capabilities there to host training sessions. And the idea is that we want to be a resource for the community. So we don't charge people to use the space. We collaborate with other benefits professionals to host their clients, to invite our clients to learn more about what they do and how their business can be beneficial to our clients. The idea is simply, let's educate the benefits community from plan sponsors to service providers. Let's be the go-to teachers in this space. And I think that the content we're creating, the slideshows that our team puts together for webinars and for in-person speaking engagements, they're top-notch. And the information is top-notch. If you look at our newsletter, which just came out yesterday, by the way, mm-hmm. you can sign up for that on our website. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to do. Every month, we put out really good information. You're going to get blogs from us every week. And so that ties into the mission of the ERISA Learning Center. So I think the ERISA Learning Center isn't just a space. I think it's a mindset, if you will, mm-hmm. right? It is a space in our office. But it is
going
part
to
of
our core value yeah. of educating plan sponsors.
That's right. It is part of our
mentality.
And we have
lunch and learns and events in there monthly.
Absolutely.
Now, are you able to live into this community in the sense of reaching out to the community for their thought leadership and getting their perspective and their take on different, because this is such a complex issue. There is no kind of clear mm-hmm. black and white in a lot of areas. So learning from the community as a whole is a side benefit of being part of the community, right?
Absolutely.
You get a community effect.
One of the things I love about doing speaking engagements, and I always encourage, I don't want to just get up here and talk. Let's make this a discussion.
Right.
I want to hear what your questions are. What are your experiences? Some of the best anecdotal information that we've gotten to share and learn with our clients is from lunch and learns, mm-hmm. when people will come up to me and maybe they're not comfortable asking the question because it's more of a personal, yes, it's and they want to be careful. But I had someone come up to me after a lunch and learn and tell me about a Department of Labor audit that they were in for the lack of locating missing participants. They terminated a plan and had, according to the DOL, had not done their diligence in going after those participants who didn't know about their account.
Right.
And so they went through and described exactly what this audit had been like. That was very helpful for us. We terminated a $150 million plan last year. Mm-hmm. We used that information to help our... So one of the things, I mean, we gain from doing lunch and learns and speaking engagements because we solicit feedback from the attendees. And tell us what you're seeing. What are you seeing and how can we be of service and what can we share in the community to help other people so that they avoid this issue?
Right. And you return the learning back, whether it came from you or not.
Absolutely.
The whole community benefits.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
That's wonderful. So are you sleeping or yeah? So this is Junko's health, wealth, and
right.
happiness.
It's the power of prayer.
That's the power of prayer.
Yeah.
That's right.
Any time for yourself, exercise. Yeah.
So we have two little girls, two beautiful little girls, and they're both under 2 years old.
Wow.
So we are busy at home and at work, but what's again been nice is that we don't have a long commute. We go ahead, Ann Tyler.
And I would just say to that, one of the things that I've really tried to focus on is going into work and being very efficient and effective at work, mm-hmm. and then coming home and being at home with my family and mm-hmm. focused at
home.
That's
a discipline, right?
And Dave and I talk a lot about, you know, putting down our phone, putting down distractions, and being with our family and spending quality time with our family. And when we do that, mm-hmm. it is a, you know, whatever work-life balance means, mm-hmm. I feel that
yeah.
when we're doing that well.
Mm-hmm. And it is a trap, though, being that you both work together. So it's easy to let it
kind of bleed into your
personal life and to have kind of, you know, walls up and saying, hey, this is our time as a family. So let's pause that.
Absolutely.
And we'll get to, that'll
and the
be there tomorrow.
No. The power of no. I mean, yeah, I missed a conference last weekend because we just decided as a family we were going to be together that weekend.
Right. And that's how it goes.
That's right. And as parents of young children, you do recognize how quickly time goes, how fast they grow.
Exactly.
You know, and so look, there's that over, that's over everything else. Mm-hmm. There, you know, there's nothing important about the business that should overshadow family.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So we have to keep that in mind. It is a discipline. It is easy for work creep to come in, right? But we have to come home and be at home.
Yeah.
And when you have this true north, it's easier, I think, because then decisions become simple.
Absolutely.
And it's your rules, your business. So, again, you have a lot of control over this. Yeah.
And we have a team in place that is very good at what they do. We want them to have work-life balance as well, but we feel like we can leave the office, and the office is in good hands.
Yeah.
So it's also saying, I can let go of control of some things, right? My highest and best use, both professionally and personally, is not necessarily going to Costco and getting supplies for the office anymore. Mm-hmm. When we were a small firm, that, or you know, we're still a small firm, but when we were in our genesis, that maybe was a good use of my time.
Yeah.
But now we have a team in place and we have people who are, you know, designated to do those tasks and that do them very well from from the, you know, from the procuring groceries to to doing the legal work. And so our commitment is to staffing up in a way that, that everything is continued to do with be done with excellence.
Great. So if we want to find you, where do we go?
Yeah, if somebody wants to have more substantive conversation, learn more about the Learning Center and all the fun stuff you guys are doing, get a hold of the book when that comes out.
I think the starting point would be to reach out to me. My email address is D, as in David, Hall, at hallbenefitslaw.com. If you're looking for employee benefits legal compliance resources, I would encourage you to visit our website, www.hallbenefitslaw.com.
We have a plethora of resources on the website, www.hallbenefitslaw.com.
And we are growing those every day. Every time we do a webinar, every time we do an event, we're growing those resources. So we want the plan sponsor community, the service provider community to have easy access to those resources.
Wonderful.
And a lot of them are no charge, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So nothing nothing on the website is everything is out there for your taking.
Wow.
Wow.
Very generous.
Yeah. Except the book coming out soon. Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, not if you come to our open house.
Or, or if you hire us, we'll give you a free book.
Great.
Good
thank
stuff.
You.
Well, thank you so much for participating and sharing your story today.
Thank you.
Great to
thank
have you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Junko, you hit it out of the park again. Another great episode.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right, this is Lee Cantor for Junko Horvath. You've been listening to Junko's Health, Wealth, and Happiness Hour, brought to you by our good friends at Fujiyama Wealth. We will see you next time.
Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer, member, FINRA/SIPC. Registered representative, securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member, FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisor representative, Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Fujiyama Wealth Management and Cambridge are not affiliated.